Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends, and welcome to the Chosen People. This is your host, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and I have a wonderful co-host, Bobby Walter. Bobby leads the work of Chosen People in the New York region. Shalom, Bobby.
Shalom, Mitch, and shalom to all of our listeners. As always, we are so grateful that you're tuning in with us wherever you are today.
Absolutely. And we've been in existence now for 131 years. And I have to tell you, I am not the founder. So I just want to get that one thing absolutely straight. We were founded by a Hungarian Hasidic rabbi who came to the United States in 1892 to the Lower East Side of Manhattan and walked past a Dutch Reformed church where a young Jewish believer in Jesus was preaching in Yiddish. Yiddish, sort of old German, written in Hebrew characters, sounds more like German than Hebrew. And he heard the gospel and he believed in the Lord Jesus and was saved. But part of that testimony was something that a lot of Jewish people identify with, in that he did come to faith and he was led to the Lord by this young Polish Jewish believer in Jesus. But first, that young Polish Jewish believer befriended him, gave him a Bible, met with him, studied with him, ate with him, and shared the gospel through the bridge of friendship. And I want to tell you that one of the most powerful ways to reach Jewish people with the gospel is to be personal. Jewish people are not looking for another religion or another tradition. Jewish people, if they're looking spiritually, they're looking for something that's going to give their life meaning. They're looking for something that's transcendent. They're looking for something that's going to give them joy and something that's going to cause them to be different and to provide them with an intimate, a personal relationship with God. Jewish people are sometimes very spiritual, but not necessarily in Judaism. There's a spirituality outside of Judaism that sometimes is attractive. And it's not always the gospel. It's not always Christianity. Sometimes it goes east. And so sometimes there are other forms of spirituality. But Jewish people are looking for something that's life-changing. And so be personal. Be personal. And I'm going to give you a few ways that you can be personal. And the first is to build a friendship. Build a friendship with a Jewish person. And some of you already have a Jewish friend or many Jewish friends. Some of you have Jewish family members. And some of you have good relationships with Jewish people. And maybe one of your concerns is crossing over that line of friendship and telling them about Jesus, and you're afraid of losing a friend. Well, honestly, you don't have to lose the friend because you can be personal and open up your life, and you don't have to be threatening. And I'll tell you how to do it. And people did it with me, and we do it all the time. And that is to talk about what God is doing in your life. Talk about something you read in the Bible that meant something to you. Now, if you can talk about something that really meant something to you that's in the Old Testament, that would be really a good way to bridge the gap with your Jewish friend. And again, pray for a Jewish person. Talk to them about things that matter. I mean, be personal. Build a friendship. Those are important things. The second thing that you can do in being personal and making your witness personal is to give your personal testimony. There's an old saying, you know, being born in a Christian home doesn't make you any more Christian than being born in a bakery makes you a bagel. How's that one? That's an old one. But it's really true. Most Christians think that Jewish people understand that Gentile Christians have become believers in Jesus because they've made some kind of choice or decision. That's not true at all. Actually, Jewish people think Christians became Christians the same way Jews became Jews. through their mommies and daddies. And so the fact that you have a testimony where you crossed a line and made a choice and believed in Jesus, even as a young person, if you did that, wow, that's a story to tell to a Jewish person. So, Bobby, I've been giving you strict time limits. So let me give you another strict time limit, you know?
Okay.
I'm wordy. You know, I've got things to say here, and I'm older than you, so I get to say more, okay? Is that all right?
That's fine with me.
Thank you, my friend. All right. But a lot of people would love to hear how you became a believer in Jesus. And if you can do that in 2 or 3 minutes, I'll buy you a Starbucks.
Okay.
And that's
all right.
Expensive.
Well, I might hold you
Not
to that.
Not as expensive as giving you an egg, but it's expensive. So
right.
Can you take a few minutes and
yeah.
share that?
Yeah. Now, just to clarify, is it a venti size that we're talking about here?
Oh, man, are you kidding? You know, my Italian's not that good. But
okay. All right.
Is that the biggest one?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
The extra large. When I came to faith, I first of all, I'm Gentile. I'm not Jewish. And I grew up in New Jersey in a more secular home. So we never really went to church or anything like that. And when I was 19 years old, Mitch, like you, I was doing a lot of drugs and partying and all kinds of just total rebellion, seeking.
And Bobby, that's why I don't trust you. You know, I don't fully trust anybody with that kind of a background, including myself.
I thought it was because I'm over 30. You don't trust me.
That's true, too.
So I was 19 years old and just steeped in a life of just drugs and partying and rebellion. And, you know, Mitch, it's kind of weird. It's a little different because it was really over the course of about 3 months where God, by His Holy Spirit, just began to convict me about the way I was living. And what's strange about it is I wasn't going to church, and really no one was like in my life even sharing the gospel with me. I think I was confronted with my sin on a regular basis and realizing just how depraved I was, how empty I was, and how all this fulfillment that I was chasing in all of these substances or experiences were leaving me totally empty on the other side. And so over the course of about 2 or 3 months, I just began to think about life, existence, God, why am I here? And it came to a head one night when really for the first time in my life, I prayed to God and I said, God, if you're real, show me. And within a few moments of praying that prayer, I was just flooded and overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit of God, cleansed and just, again, like this wave of peace and love and warmth fell over me, fell into me. And all that I knew in that moment was that Jesus answered my prayer. And everything changed, Mitch. I began to weep. And just as it was for you, same for me. I had no desire for the substances, the drugs, or any of that. And one of the big changes that was noticeable right away for my family was my language. You know, every other word before that out of my mouth was some kind of profanity. But right away, it was gone. And from there, I just began to read the Bible, and I didn't know where to go. So I bounced around a lot of different churches. But ironically, the one thing that God really used to stabilize me during my early walk was the radio ministry. So I would consume these half-hour sermons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I loved it. You would consume these half-hour sermons from just a litany of good, solid Bible teachers. Chuck Swindoll was one of my favorites, and Greg Laurie and Chuck Smith. And it was so, so important for me early in my walk.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bobby. That's great. So, friend, share your testimony with a Jewish person. It's very unthreatening and very attractive. You can even just begin by saying, you know, something happened to me some years ago, and I don't think, you know, I've really discussed it. It's not the kind of thing you talk about every day, but can I share just a little bit of a story so that you get to know me better? You know, I wasn't always, you know, years ago, you may not have wanted to be my friend, but But so let me tell you what it was like, and then what changed me. And then stop and say, do you want to hear this? You've got to stop and ask for permission to tell your testimony. Because once you have that permission, you have their ear. Mm. Okay? Little trick of the trade, brothers and sisters. Try it. So build a friendship. That's really critical. Share your testimony. That's really, really personal. It will forever change your relationship, actually. And third, explain how God is working in your life. Feel free to share. Show how your faith affects your relationship to your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, or your coworkers. You might share how God is working your life in many different ways. Talk about your excitement about reading the Bible and about answered prayers. I mean, don't hold back because that can just be built into your relationship. Of course, you're not going to be obnoxious or pushy, but it's part of who you are, isn't it? I mean, I know so many Christians, and I would say in the first 10 minutes, you know, of getting to know somebody who's a new friend and a believer in Jesus, I hear about what God's doing in their life. And there's nothing wrong with telling your Jewish friend with what God is doing in your life. And it's very non-threatening because you're not saying that you need to do this, you need to believe this. All you're doing is sharing. And that's part of the jealousy principle. You're going to show Jewish people what God's doing in your life. And it's very attractive and very interesting to Jewish people because Jews don't talk like this. And so it's fascinating to a Jewish person. So give it a shot. So explain how God's working your life. Fourth, tell them about your answered prayers and supernatural provision. You know, that long story about how you didn't have money for the mortgage payment or the college payment or the car payment. And God supernaturally provided for you. Maybe it's because he gave you a new job. Maybe it's because you found money in your couch. I mean, the important thing is that you tie it to an answered prayer. And brothers and sisters, I know that you have answered prayers almost every day. That's the kind of spiritual lives we live. We don't just believe in a faith or in a doctrine or in a teaching. Our lives are alive with the presence of God. I can't hear you, but you can say amen to that one. But we're alive with the presence of God. And when we respectfully and gently and sensitively share this with our Jewish friends, that's wonderful. So quick story. I don't have a lot of time. It's an amazing story, really, and I don't recommend this, but it's an amazing story. I don't mind sharing it. It's only happened once to me, but I'll tell you what happened. So I was living in Los Angeles. Our upstairs neighbors was an American Jewish woman and an Israeli, and we became quite friendly, and she became pregnant with their first child, and one day she was in a car accident, and she lost her child. It was a really, really terrible. My friend Moshe was on his way within that week. You know, he was visiting his wife every day, of course. And so he was on his way to the hospital. He was in a car accident. If you can believe this, they ended up in the same hospital room. And so, of course, we are their upstairs neighbors. So we brought over the mail almost every day and just talked with them. And we were quite friendly, but, you know, I would not say that they were particularly open to the gospel, but we shared the gospel with them here and there. And we just went every day and as we could. And finally, they were okay, and she came out of the hospital. He came out of the hospital. And, of course, she was devastated by the loss of her baby, and so was he. And so after a month or two, she started jogging again, and I was a jogger at that time. And so she was running around, I was running, and we ran into each other. And I stopped and I said, how are you doing? Now she says, I'm still just so sad about losing my baby. And I talked to her a little bit and quoted some scripture. And she said, you know, Mitch, if God would give me a baby again, because they told her she couldn't get pregnant anymore, she said, if God would give me a baby, I'll believe in Jesus. I had never, I didn't ask her to do that, you know. She just somehow knew to do that. And I said, what do you do when somebody says that? So I said, okay, let's pray. And so I prayed with her. Her name is Nancy. And I prayed with her and that God would give her a baby. Now that, I mean, I would never usually pray something like that because, you know, I like miracles, but I don't like necessarily asking for them all the time. And this was a big one. And, of course, you know the end of this story. So about 4 months later, she came up to me and said, Mitch, I want you to know that I'm pregnant again. And I want you to know that I kept my word and I believe in Jesus. And that was a miracle. Wow. I mean, that was unbelievable. And I tell you that story, not everyone's going to have the opportunity to experience that dramatic of an answer to prayer. But I want to tell you, we have a God who answers prayer. And when you can talk about God answering prayer with a Jewish person, it's so striking. It's so different. It's so kind of non-Jewish. You know, I mean, it's very much like the Psalms, but Jewish people don't always read the Psalms. They like the Psalms, but they don't necessarily read them. But it's so dramatic. So open up your heart to, and don't be afraid of talking about God's supernatural work in your life. It's something that Jewish people find attractive. And because you're not saying, now, if you believe in Jesus, this is what's going to happen to you, or just tell them what happened to you. Talk about it like it's sort of every day. And I've shared this story with a lot of Jewish people, and it's never happened again. But I like to tell Jewish people that God can answer prayer in the most powerful way. And there are issues and problems that Jews and Gentiles have in their heart of hearts that they don't necessarily share with other people, but they really need the Lord, not just to get saved, but they need the Lord to make a difference in their lives.
Yeah. Mitch, I think this goes back to just the principle from Romans 11:11 that we've been talking about. What does it look like for a Gentile Christian, a Gentile follower of Jesus, to provoke a Jewish person to jealousy? And I think that's it. That's it. I mean, sharing and demonstrating and letting Jewish people see the very real fruit that comes about in your life as a covenant member with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
And it's not theology necessarily. It's not a tradition. It's not a church,
right.
You know? It's a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a person. And we can have an intimate relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through his son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And Jewish people need to understand that. And the only way they're going to understand that is when you explain it to them and tell them. So please, don't hesitate. I'm telling you, as a Jewish believer in Jesus, raised in a traditional home, knowing about the intimate personal relationship that other people have with God really made a difference in my life. So God bless you, friends. Thanks for listening. And please, ask God to give you a Jewish friend so that you might tell them about the Messiah Jesus. God bless you and shalom.
And right now we're going to turn our attention to David Schiller. David grew up in a religious Jewish family, and while he was away at college, he met a Christian man whose message about the Messiah repulsed yet attracted him at the same time.
God, I do not believe that Jesus is your son, but I want to believe what is right. I'm sorry, I don't want to get so choked up. Mother's side was Orthodox, and my father's side was Reformed. I went to Hebrew school, went to Shabbat school, services most weeks, bar mitzvah. President of my B'nai B'rith youth group during high school, and then went off to college at Cornell University. I was in a fraternity. There was one guy of the 50 guys at the fraternity was an outspoken, vibrant Christian. I felt that he felt he was better than everybody else. He actually lived his faith, almost like a saint. I was always curious about what made him tick. And so one day, I secretly followed him on a Sunday morning to his church. and handed me a Bible, and they said, we're studying Hebrews. And I had no idea at the time that it was the name of one of the books in their Bible. This was surprisingly a very Jewish book. I both mocked it, and at the same time, I wanted it. And then I started having this violent reaction or struggle or inner warfare within me about all this. Started becoming more violent. I got into drugs. I was selling drugs. It was like a war within me. It's the only way I can describe it. Started hating this kid from the fraternity, the Christian. This hatred would come out all of a sudden towards him. It was like two forces within me, almost as if they were struggling or warring for my soul. At one point, I took a large army NATO type of knife and went up behind him and grabbed him by the throat and put the knife up to his throat and threatened to kill him. What he had in his life, and the joy that he had and the genuineness and the vibrancy and the godliness, really, he had that I did not have, it made me jealous. I just fell down to my knees and I started crying. It was like God's presence was there. And I felt this tremendous release and asked Yeshua to come into my life and to make me his and to change me. It wasn't studying the New Testament that brought me to faith. It was just supernaturally God calling me and revealing Jesus to me. And only afterwards did I really start studying the scriptures and putting all the pieces together. Once I committed my life to Yeshua, he started transforming my life. I'm married to my wife Elizabeth, and we met at Cornell University and graduated with honors from Stanford Law and was on the Stanford Law Review. And we have two beautiful daughters. My younger daughter Naomi made Aliyah and was in the IDF. It really put things in a totally different perspective and so changed my life for the better, giving me a new love for other people and taking away the hatred and the anger that I had within.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. In 1894, Rabbi Leopold Cohen began ministering to the Jewish people in Brooklyn, New York. And since those humbling beginnings, this nonprofit ministry has made it our mission to combine God's love with practical on-ground support. And if you'd like to learn more about this ministry or this weekly program, just go online at chosenpeople.com/radio.
And friend, when you reach out, we'll send you a messianic calendar free of charge. This calendar is a great way to stay up to date on all the biblical feast days, the weekly Torah portion readings from the five books of Moses, and what we're doing around the world. So request your free copy this year of our messianic Jewish calendar. We'll send it to you right away when you call 888-2-YESHUA. That's YESHUA. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. And once again, the number to call is 888-293-7482.
You can also request the Messianic calendar by going online to chosenpeople.com/radio. Or you can ask for it when you write to us today at Chosen People Ministries, 241 East 51st Street in New York, New York, 10022. That's 241 East 51st Street, New York, New York, 10022. We look forward to hearing from you soon. And now let's close our program with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. V'yaseim lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.